This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Folks in Asheville are still waiting to find out exactly how much evidence is missing from the Asheville Police Department evidence room. The city council commissioned a full audit that was finished in January, but the council hasn't asked to see it, and the Buncombe County District Attorney won't release it. Now a consortium of news organizations is suing to open the audit to the public. John Elliston's been covering the story for the Carolina Public Press, which is a party to the lawsuit. He's with us today. Also joining us is David Herland, news director at WCQS, Western North Carolina Public Radio. WCQS is another news organization that brought the suit, and David is also on the advisory board of the Carolina Public Press. Gentlemen, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank.
Thanks, Frank. One quick correction. My name's David Hurand, H-U-R-A-N-D. Thank you.
We try to get that right in public radio, don't we, David? And then when we don't, we feel bad. I apologize, David. Okay. John, let's go back a little bit. You've been covering this story for a while. Give us the background on the story. What is missing? How much do we know?
A quick recap. About a year and a half ago, it was discovered that a number of items were missing from the Asheville Police Department evidence room. A partial audit of about 1,000 critical items, such as guns, drugs, and money, found that about 10% of those items were missing. In fact, the room was home to some 13,000 items, so at that point, Asheville City Council decided to fund a complete inventory to see what was still on the shelves. And as you mentioned, that audit was completed this January. It presently resides with our county district attorney. He's been unwilling to share it in the face of multiple public records requests, and our own city and city council hasn't requested the report that it funded just over a year ago.
And it's a very big report.
That's right. It's some 15 volumes and three ring binders, thousands and thousands of pages of what we believe is raw data about what was and wasn't there.
You say the preliminary audit suggested there's something missing. The city council asked for it. What does the city council say, or any of the members of the city council say, about why they haven't asked to see it?
Well, to put it one way, there's a lot of what you might call passing the buck. The city is deferring to the district attorney. The district attorney says the State Bureau of Investigation has to complete its investigation before any of this information can be released. And everyone's sort of passing responsibility up the food chain, as it were.
All right. And tell us about the lawsuit. When did that get started, and who all is involved in bringing that suit?
We've got five partners, five major media outlets here in Asheville and Buncombe County, including WCQS, our NPR station, our daily newspaper, Asheville Citizen Times, our weekly newspaper, Mountain Express, Carolina Public Press, and WLOS, our ABC affiliate.
David, why did WCQS decide to become party to this suit?
As you mentioned, Frank, the city paid $175,000 for the audit. That's taxpayers' money, and it seemed only appropriate that the city get its copy of the audit that it paid for and that the public have a right to see it. And there wasn't any expectation that it wouldn't be redacted or that we would actually see the entire unedited audit. And there were repeated requests made for the audit. And it wasn't as if we were pushing and kicking and screaming to get a copy of this audit. There were nearly, I think John could vouch for this, nearly a dozen requests made very quietly for copies of the audit. The DA simply refused. It seemed like it should see the light of day.
And for their part, and for his part, I should say, DA Ron Moore did talk about that decision to withhold the audit. And we have a clip from an interview done last month on the Pete Callender Show on News Radio 570 WWNC.
I've never said it would not be disclosed. I've always intended to disclose the audit. I think it should be disclosed, but I have a criminal investigation going on, as well as an obligation under the rules of professional conduct about releasing information when I'm in a criminal investigation.
Now, that is about all he has said. He hasn't said very much. Is that right, John, in terms of going on the public record to talk about the report at all?
That's right. He's made a few comments, particularly when he first received the report. He talked just a little bit about the scope of its findings, but not in much detail. And he's been insistent from the get-go that he doesn't plan on releasing the report or even a redacted version.
But I think part of the issue is that Ron Moore has been district attorney since 1990, and city council has not pressed the city manager, members of city council, the city attorney, they have not pressed to get their copy.
So you've got this multi-volume report that suggests there's something going on there, and no version of it, not an executive summary, not a redacted version, is out in the public. What's happened in the meantime? Because it has had an effect on criminal justice in Buncombe County, hasn't it, John?
That's right. It's been very frustrating, I'm sure, for the district attorney, because in several cases he's had to make plea deals. He's had to release folks he believed were guilty of criminal charges because the evidence had either disappeared or been tainted. So there are some real-world effects to whatever breach that actually occurred at the evidence room.
David, what's the effect on a radio station like WCQS when you bring this suit in terms of the cost? Is there a cost in bringing this lawsuit, or are you getting pro bono help?
I think that's a really good question, because a small public radio station doesn't want to incur lots of legal fees, regardless of what the matter is. And so when this came up and Carolina Public Press approached us about joining the suit, I recommended that we do that, but with the understanding that we couldn't spend a lot of money and that it had to be approved by the executive director, and we had to approach our board and get they had to be fully advised of what was happening with this lawsuit, because we didn't want to get into this protracted struggle with the district attorney's office, or for that matter with the city of Asheville, and end up incurring a lot of expensive legal bills. But the executive director was fully in support of pursuing this. And because we had we were joining with four other organizations, we also knew with the help of the law firm in Raleigh that we wouldn't be facing huge legal fees.
It does point to the bind that the media are in, John, when it comes to doing our job. The job is to daylight this information so that the people in whose name it was done get to see it, and yet it can be a very expensive process, one that perhaps you'd have to just stand down. You'd have to just let it go.
Well, it's certainly at some point, we, of course, would not have preferred to bring a lawsuit. We'd rather have the public records law do its work for us, and we would have liked to have seen at least a redacted copy of the report, if there was any information in it that would impair an investigation or prosecution. All that said, one nice twist in our public records law in North Carolina is, given the course of events in a situation like this, if the lawsuit is successful, the entities we've brought the complaint against will need to recoup our attorney's fees. So There might be that light at the end of the tunnel. If we lose the suit, we lose the money.
And where does this fall in terms of public record and the public's right to know? It seems pretty clear, but maybe not. I mean, the city council spent public money to get this report.
That's right. And it all boils down to how you interpret clauses in the public records law dealing with criminal investigation records, because there are some very clear demarcations there for items that can be shielded from the public. However, the law is also very clear that just because a document is related to an investigation, it doesn't automatically earn it that shield, particularly if the document doesn't deal with persons or a person who is a suspect. Our view is that given that this inventory is likely just a catalog of data, doesn't point any fingers at potential criminals, that it doesn't apply to be withheld from the public.
And what's been the fallout in the police department since this whole story broke?
Well, the long-term evidence room manager was suspended and subsequently resigned. No one's been charged in the case, I should mention. Our police chief at the time resigned shortly thereafter. We have a new police chief who has inherited this kind of mounting scandal. He's come over from Greenville, North Carolina, where he revealed to us he had his own evidence room problem where he had to replace all his staff there. So he has some experience in these matters. He's got a new evidence room with new surveillance and security measures in hand, and he's hiring a new expert civilian evidence room manager as we speak. So he's making the case that they're making a clean, fresh start.
David Horan, how big a story is this in Asheville? Is this something that people are fixated on and paying a great deal of attention to?
Interestingly enough, I don't think that they are. And I find that fascinating, because when you're talking about drugs, money missing, weapons missing, cases potentially being jeopardized, criminal investigations being jeopardized, you think that the public would take a greater interest in the story.
John Elliston, this is not unique to Asheville. You did some reporting on just how pervasive this is in the state of North Carolina.
Yes, I'm afraid so. In a recent investigation, we found that roughly once a year for the past decade, and perhaps stretching farther back, North Carolina law enforcement officers are convicted of stealing and or selling items out of the evidence room. And it happens with lower-level employees, and sometimes it happens with sheriffs and police chiefs. And these are the ones we know about, mind you, that make it to trial, that result in convictions. Some of them remain unsolved. Here in Buncombe County, 5 years ago, an audit found that our then-sheriff, Bobby Medford, during his tenure, an enormous amount of items had disappeared from the evidence room, $200,000 in cash, 300 guns, 1,300 packets of drugs. No one's been charged with those violations to this day. He and some of his cohorts are in federal prison, though, on what you might call related charges.
All right.
I think it's also interesting to point out that that evidence room problem was actually a bigger, greater magnitude than this, what appears to be the case with the Asheville Police Department evidence room.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
Of course, we don't know because we haven't seen the report, but
right.
I take your point. Well, I want to thank you both for being on the program. Maybe just in a second or two, can you give me a sense of the timeline very briefly?
We're hoping that we'll see some resolution. We'll make a visit to court and appear before a judge sometime in the next couple of weeks. We don't have a date set as yet. And we'd be delighted if it didn't come to that, if the report would be released in the interim.
Thanks very much, John Elliston, reporter for the Carolina Public Press. David Horan, news director at WCQS, Western North Carolina Public Radio. Just ahead, a dim view of the City of Light on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, the broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.